Monitor Music. You may not believe this, but it's true. The song is called Groovy Grubworm, and the orchestra belongs to Harlow Wilcox. For Sunday, September 14th. This is Joe Garagiola. Under news you may have missed this week include the following. Reuters news agency in London has announced that the average Briton buys one toothbrush a year, usually just before he goes on vacation. That's whether he needs one or not. But chin up, gentlemen. Even with your cavities, you still have Petula Clark.
Look at me. Get my
I've got everything you need.
look at mine.
Monitor on stage. Star performances recorded live at leading theaters, nightclubs, and concert halls throughout the world. And in the spotlight right now, comedian Bill Cosby with some personal reflections on that lively game whose season, both college and pro, started this weekend.
Football is dumb. Football is dumb. No, okay, oh, you're hissing. You're hissing. Sir, I challenge you. I take for granted that you are a rational man. You tell me that you would enjoy carrying a football and letting a guy rip your leg off. No, sir. Well, then it's dumb. Nobody wants to carry. You can't hear one guy say, I enjoy my nose being over here when it was straight when I was a kid. These knees of mine been operating on 8 times. I love going to the hospital, getting that cartilage moved out. No, it's a dumb sport. It goes against the grain. $13,000 a year is not enough to let Jim Brown run over me every other Sunday. And I played for Temple. We lost 27 games in a row. I'm telling you, it was awful. It wasn't my fault because I never carried the ball. I was a fullback, but they never gave it to me. I blocked for the ball carrier. And I had a choice whether I could hit the guy if I wanted to or not. I made that my choice. Because the ball carrier wasn't no great guy anyway. And I always apologized to him when I came back to the huddle, you know, and he understood. I said, look, the guy was really big, man. I mean, let's face it, the guy was big. Did you see him? Of course I saw him. He hit me. Right, all right. Frank, football is the only sport where a guy can really break your neck and only get a 15-yard penalty. There are guys out there steal a loaf of bread. You get 6 months on a football field. You bust the guy's nose at 15 yards, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct. And then they put you back to line up in front of the guy. He's got another shot at you. And I remember one time it was 3rd and 47. We were on our own 5-yard line. And the quarterback says, okay, this time, Cosby up the middle. And I said, why? You have never called on me before. You got a trick going or something? Now, in this play, I follow off of the guard's tail. The guard blocks straight ahead. For you ladies, the guard comes out of his stance, and he hits the guy, whether he goes this way or that way, whatever way he can move that guy, if he can move him at all. And I cut off his tail this way, or if he's blocking, I cut off his tail that way, you see. And the quarterback give me the ball. Hut one, hut two, hut, and then look to the hole, and the guard is pulling. Now, I look to see why he's pulling. And there it is. 6'9", 482 pounds. With no clothes on. Just a helmet and his name, David. Now, I collect myself together. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, I said, now, this is football. Now, why does this guy want to hurt me? And I know he's going to hurt me if he touches me. Why? He doesn't know me. I've never said anything to him. Why does he want to hurt me? He doesn't. The guy doesn't want to hurt me. What does he want? He wants the ball. So I give it to him. You should have seen the change that came over that guy when I gave him the ball. He was so happy, man. Now, a lot of you purists will say, yeah, but the coach must have benched you for life. Of course he benched me for life. But that bench don't hurt half as much as what that guy would have done. Thank you and good night.
Monitor on stage, and that was comedian Bill Cosby without the football. Okay, baby, it's just you and the Letterman.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. It's not the way you smile.
When you stay right here on the Monitor Beacon.
Well, the kids are back in school. I thought I'd relax after having them around all day. But now the teacher's complaining that Johnny can't read. He doesn't pay attention in class. He daydreams. He's getting behind in his schoolwork, and I can't get him to sit still long enough to get his homework done.
A behavior problem? The American Optometric Association says that the chances are better than 50-50 that a vision problem is the cause. According to recent scientific studies, Johnny may have 20-20 vision and still not have adequate vision for reading. Of course, there are many other causes of reading failure, but there are also many types of vision problems. The American Optometric Association recommends a complete vision checkup for every child beginning at an early age, before he enters kindergarten, and then once each year. So if your Johnny can't read, be sure to have a vision specialist examine his eyes. Reading takes seeing, you know.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Minutes after the hour, along comes a fellow named Oliver to sing about a girl named Jean.
Jean, Jean, roses are red. All the leaves have gone green. And the clouds are so low, you can touch them and so. Come out to the meadow, Jean. Jean, Jean, you're young and alive. Come out of your half dream, dream. And run, if you will, to the top of the hill. Till the sheep in the valley come home my way. Till the stars all around me and find me alone. When the sun comes a-singing, I'll still be waiting for Jean. The hills are ablaze with the moon's yellow haze. into my arms, Bonnie Jean. If you will, to the top of the hill, come into my arms, Bonnie
Capitol Hill Monitor, a close-up of the men in Washington who helped to shape our nation's legislation. Today's profile, GOP Representative David Dennis of Richmond, Indiana. Here is Monitor reporter Paul Duke, NBC News, on Capitol Hill.
Remember the Roosevelt administration, the Teddy Roosevelt administration? GOP Representative David Dennis of Indiana does because his father was a solicitor in the State Department during the early 1900s.
He was a great admirer of Teddy's. I don't mean to give the suggestion that he was an intimate of the president or anything like that. He wasn't that far up the totem pole, but he was a great admirer of Teddy's, and he supported him in 1912 when the Bull Moose thing came along. And he always told me after that he was very reluctant to join any attempt to of that kind again, because he said he'd helped wreck a great party once, and it was a thing he didn't think he wanted to do twice.
Young Dave Dennis grew up in Washington, but after high school, his family moved to Richmond, Indiana, where his father became president of Earlham College. The younger Dennis got his bachelor's degree at Earlham, then went on to Harvard Law School. Back home in Indiana, Dennis practiced law and served as prosecuting attorney for Wayne County. He believes law and order is a problem, but he also sees a need for speedier justice.
I'm not at all in favor of removing the constitutional rights of individual defendants, but I do think that our system takes too long, there is too much delay, and it ought to be expedited. That would be the best thing we could do to improve it, I think.
Before coming to Congress, Dennis served in the Indiana legislature on two different occasions. As a Republican, he supports most of the Nixon program, but he has doubts about the president's new welfare reforms, believing the plan for a guaranteed minimum income can become a political football.
Well, I think every man who runs for Congress, for instance, is going to find that some fellow's going to be running on the platform, you elect me and I'll raise it to $1,800, next year I'll raise it to $2,500, and I don't know how you're going to get that kind of thing out of the system. I think it sounds maybe better than it's going to be when you get down to working it.
For a man of 57, Dennis has a wide variety of sideline pursuits designed to keep a man young in body and spirit.
Well, I like to camp and hike and climb mountains and play tennis and that kind of stuff. And I like the outdoors. I also like to read. I'm a fairly omnivorous reader. I suppose I'll pick up almost anything and read it.
He's also something of a Lincoln scholar who believes the Civil War president has been underrated as a lawyer.
I have a good deal of admiration for Lincoln. Lincoln, like a lot of other lawyers, I've spent a certain amount of time studying his legal career. And he practiced a lot of law. People don't really realize that because he was famous as president, but he did practice a lot of law out in Illinois. And I visited those courthouses where he practiced and studied his cases and that sort of thing. I've got great admiration for old Andy Jackson, too. He's supposed to be a Democrat, but I think he was a good man.
Those words from a Republican, freshman Congressman David Dennis of Richmond, Indiana, the 10th District in Indiana. This is Paul Duke for Monitor on Capitol Hill.
A brief word here on behalf of United States Savings Bonds. You know, a lot of people think that saving money is a dying art. Sure, you're in favor of it and you'd like to believe in it. But when you see how bills eat up paychecks, it makes saving seem almost impossible. So try the payroll savings plan for United States savings bonds and see how easy it is when it's automatic. Sign up for the payroll savings plan where you work. Payday by payday, your bonds keep piling up, building security into your future. If you think you can't save, you don't know payroll savings. Orchestra Games People Play. Monitor available on NBC across the nation. Folks in and around Wilmington, Delaware, hear us on WDEL, the number one station in the first city of the first state. And by the way, send for your free NBC listening guide. It's perfect for traveling. A complete list of all our stations by name and number, state by state. For your copy, write to Monitor, NBC New York, zip code 10020. Joe Garagiola here. Be back in just a couple of moments.
Are today's law enforcement officials handcuffed by rules? Join Carl Stern for Second Sunday, The Cop in the Court, a one-hour news special tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
When you listen to WNBC News, you hear New York. Jim Harriet, and this is where you hear it first. WNBC Radio 660, the place New York turns to first for news.
Hi, this is Anthony of Anthony and the Imperials. If you ever thought you could listen to music like this over and over and never stop, well, you've got lots of company. And that's the attitude of nurses in the Air Force Reserve. They never stop. They serve their country 24 hours a day when they're on the job. And if you're a nurse, look into the Air Force Reserve now. Contact your nearest Air Force Reserve unit.
This is the place, the Brad Crandall Place. Weeknights, 9 to midnight on WNBC. Radio 660, New York.
This is Hugh Morgan, WNBC News. It's 2:30, 83 degrees in New York and partly cloudy. The head of Blue Cross in New York City has warned benefits will have to be decreased or some subscribers dropped if the insurance plan is not granted a 43% average rate increase by early next year. Douglas Coleman says he's confident Blue Cross will win an appeal Friday for the reinstatement of the increases. The rate hikes, which had been scheduled to go into effect October 1st, were knocked down by State Supreme Court Justice Joseph Brust after suits were brought against the move by Mayor Lindsay and Controller Mario Procaccino. A spokesman for striking daycare center workers in New York City says his union is optimistic about the results of negotiations scheduled to resume this afternoon. Both sides met yesterday with Eric Schmertz, a private mediator appointed by Mayor Lindsay. After talks that broke up early this morning, substantial progress was announced toward resolving the dispute which shut down the centers on September 2nd. The Reverend Carl McIntyre tried unsuccessfully today in Manhattan to read a manifesto seeking reparations from modernist churches. McIntyre was denied access to the chancel of the Riverside Church to read his demands. McIntyre, who has a congregation in Collingswood, New Jersey, read part of the demand for $3 billion on the steps of the Riverside Cathedral instead. And he said his Christian manifesto is an answer to the black manifesto delivered by James Forman earlier this year. McIntyre recently sponsored the recent Truth Squad tour of Northern Ireland's Protestant minister, Ian Paisley. Reverend Carl McCall, the minister who directed a recent unsuccessful voter registration campaign here in New York City, says the structure of the city's Board of Elections discourages minority group members from registering. McCall says he thinks a federal registrar should be sent to New York City to take charge of registration. The Reverend Dr. Thomas Kilgore, Jr., the first black president of the American Baptist Convention, criticized white theology today as non-Christ-like and said the hope of American Christianity lies in the black church. Kilgore said the church as we know it today must die. A hearing is scheduled tomorrow before juvenile authorities in Jersey City to decide whether to press homicide charges against 17-year-old Michael Mitchell, accused of chopping his brother to death with an axe and critically injuring two sisters. New York City Police Commissioner Howard Leary reports the city's crime rate during July showed a decrease over the same period last year. Leary said there was a noticeable drop in the number of murders, aggravated assaults, burglaries, and larcenies. Congressional sources report that the Pentagon has given assurances that it has no major objections to moves seeking United States initiative on suspending multi-warhead missile tests. Israeli warplanes have attacked the Egyptian side of the Gulf of Suez again. The U.S. commander in Vietnam, General Creighton Abrams, conferred with President Thieu in Saigon today, shortly after returning from Washington. Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko arrives in New York tomorrow to address the United Nations General Assembly and probably will have talks with President Nixon. Plans have now been set for the removal of barricades in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Now the weather story for Manhattan. Sunny and warm today, high in the 80s. Fair and mild tonight, low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, fair and warm, high in the low 80s. Precipitation probability 10% today, tonight, and tomorrow. Right now, the relative humidity is 51%. Winds are from the north at 6 miles per hour. It's 83 degrees and partly cloudy here in New York City. Again, the top story, the head of the Blue Cross in New York City has warned benefits will have to be decreased or some subscribers dropped if the insurance plan is not granted a 43.3% hike. This is Hugh Morgan, WNBC News.
I'm your host, Joe Garagio. Say, if you're a teacher out of work, there's a possibility in England. The headmaster's job at a lovely little school named Eton will be available in 1970, and they're advertising for a replacement in the Help Wanted columns of British newspapers. School officials pointed out that the advertisements were a formality, and the famous school for British aristocracy has several leading educators in mind. They added, "We've always advertised it. It is traditional." Bobby Goldsboro on the same old line.
Working on a barge down in New Orleans, spending all my money on Cajun Queens. Working from the morning till the end of day, that's when I go out to play. Working on the muddy Mississippi line, they pay me $10 and I don't save a dime. But I always seem to make enough to see me through. I'll bet you $5, I'm as happy as you. trucks loading coffee beans. Hard-working people who will lend you a hand. They'll help you any way they can. My daddy was a Mississippi River man. My mama was a Cajun from the heart of the land. They taught me how to love the Mississippi mud. Now the Mississippi water flowing in my blood. Like it was my home. As long as I remember, it's been my home. I know it's kind of muddy, but it sure looks fine when you're riding on the muddy Mississippi line.
Anita Bryan.
Orange juice on ice is nice. Orange juice on the ice. Orange juice on ice is nice. It's refreshingly cooler naturally. Drink yourself some real sunshine. Take a word of advice. Serve real Florida orange juice. Orange juice on ice. Bottles or cartons, frozen or canned, pure orange juice from Florida on ice is nice any time of the day. It's a naturally healthful cooler, rich in vitamin C. And remember, breakfast without orange juice is like a day without sunshine. Treat yourself to some real sunshine. Take a word of advice. Serve real Florida orange juice. Orange juice on ice, so nice.
Florida orange growers. Question, do you and your wife talk a lot? I mean about what's bothering you. Now, if you don't, you should. That advice does not come from Uncle Giuseppe Garagioli, your friendly neighborhood marriage counselor. It's from Dr. Joyce Brothers, a nationally known psychologist and syndicated columnist. So if you will, doctor, I'm ready. The details, please.
Any marriage is just as effective as its level of communication. No more, no less. This is the conclusion of Dr. William Masters and Mrs. Virginia Johnson. They reached it after helping hundreds of couples improve their marital relations. The two St. Louis researchers have discovered that at the root of most marital problems lies an inability to talk things through. This includes the problem of sexual incompatibility. It's generally a result of a communications block. The marriage partners have never been able to tell or to show each other what pleases and what doesn't. The results can ruin the relationship. Masters and Johnson treat the troubled marriage partners together, and a large part of the treatment consists in getting them to talk easily about their most intimate moments. Very often, this is all that's needed to make the physical relationship satisfying to both husband and wife. But establishing communication may be difficult in itself. We've long been inhibited in talking about this part of our lives. Many men feel that they can't express themselves without being crude, and many women consider the topic taboo. Both must learn that they can talk together without being vulgar, that the subject can be beautiful, and that they put too great a burden on each other when they demand that each partner read the other's mind. The Masters and Johnson counseling team have learned that frequently what appears to be inadequacy on the part of one partner is really a lack of understanding on the part of the other. The frigid wife may be responding negatively to her husband's inability to arouse her. She'd rather adopt a hands-off attitude than suffer repeated disappointment. The impotent husband may be protecting himself from his wife's rejection. Once they learn to talk openly about these things, they can start to correct them. Expanding their communication from the verbal to the physical is another step toward eliminating their troubles. Better still, to keep problems from developing, Masters and Johnson suggest a couple should establish frank and open communication during the honeymoon, and then they should keep on talking throughout the years of marriage. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers for Monitor.
Happiness is Hugo Montenegro's orchestra and chorus.
imagine me and you. I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the good you've done. And we'll be tight, so happy together.
Home Week, and the purpose of it is to focus attention on the many advantages of home ownership. But then I'm sure you already know the advantages, like mowing the lawn and repairing the roof and fixing the driveway and pulling weeds and painting the garage and cleaning the cellar. Man, if you had any more advantages, you'd need more vacation time. Cool it, relax, take one thing at a time and stay on the monitor beacon.
On Monday morning, Dick woke up. The mailman brought him a letter from grandmother. She said that she was sending him a present in a few days. Every day, Dick looked for the mailman, but the mailman didn't come. Dick was worried. On Friday, a blue truck stopped.
There are young people coming out of our high schools who can barely read. And if you can't read, you can't survive. You can do something about education through the New York Urban Coalition, Box 5100, Grand Central Station. Give jobs. Give money. Give a damn.
But he knew he was forbidden to open it until Christmas.
WNBC, Radio 660. New York.
It's 14 minutes before the monitor hour, and the young lady is going to tell you all about her drummer man, is Nancy Sinatra.
Hush, hush, little baby, don't you cry. Hush, hush, little baby, don't you cry. Daddy works in a rock and roll band, he's a drummer man. Plays all night in a crummy dive down on Lincoln Street. Living in a rat-trap castle under hassle with a welfare plan. Lord, it's tough when you're living with a dream.
to be living with a dream of a drummer band. Darling, it's tough, but your daddy is a dream of a drummer man.
Now, monitor sports. The New York Mets today are sitting in first place, 3.5 games ahead of the Chicago Cubs. 5 minutes before the Mets took the field against the Pittsburgh Pirates, I talked with 22-game winner Tom Seaver. Tom, we get the feeling here that the Mets can't possibly lose the way you guys are going. What's the feeling on the club?
The feeling's real good. I don't know if it's that we can't lose. I mean, we're realistic enough to know that each ball game's individual, but we have good momentum and a good attitude, and we feel that we can win, and we just play them one at a time.
Tom, how do you explain momentum? I hear the word. I've been on ball clubs that have had it. I couldn't explain it. Can you?
I think momentum can best be defined as a good positive attitude. I think that's the best thing, just believing in yourself and having a positive attitude.
It took a while for the Mets to believe in themselves with all the jokes that were going around, though, huh?
Pardon?
It took a while for the Mets to believe in themselves with all the jokes that were going around about them.
Oh, certainly. I think that, there were the old stories about the Mets, but I think this year when we swept a back-to-back series against the Giants and the Dodgers in New York, I think that's the turning point for our ball club when we truly made believers out of ourselves. For the entire club, I think, felt that way.
Now that you're out in front, is the ball club playing scoreboard baseball where they're watching to see what the Cubs are doing?
I don't think so. Joe, we know that we can't win unless we win, and we think we're primarily concerned with what we're doing. And I know I stayed up last night to find out what the Cubs were doing, but during the ball games, I think we're more or less just worried about our own ball game.
There are many ball players who have been big factors, Tom. Can you single out any 1, 2, or 5?
On our ball club?
Yes. I mean, yesterday, Swoboda, we've had A.G., we've had Shamsky, we've had Jones.
Well, I think it's been kind of everybody's been picking up everybody, but if you're going to single out anybody, you'd have to go with Jonesy and A.G. as the big carriers of the ball club.
Tom, watching your pitch, I've described you as a young man with a 50-year-old head. Your pitching knowledge, is it something that you ask about or you just observe?
Well, I think I was very fortunate. I had some good schooling as I was coming up in high school and college. Joe, I went to the University of Southern California, and Rod Data was out there, and he stressed the fundamentals, and I think he just made me use my head and made me realize the importance of using your head in the ball game, not to beat yourself and use everything that you have to its utmost.
Tom, thank you very much. Congratulations on the way the club has been going. Certainly congratulations to you as a 22-game winner, and we'll keep watching with all the excitement that you fellas have given us. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. I just hope all of them keep going the way we have.
Tom Seaver, the surprising New York Mets were in first place. Gary Puckett in the Union Gap next reminds us just how speedily time flies.
This girl walking I'm
Just a little off the side, Tony.
Okay.
And leave the Burns, huh?
Yeah, sure. Well, what are you doing with all your money these days, Jack?
Come on, you kidding?
Well, no new car, nothing?
Well, no, old one runs great.
Last time you were in the shop, you said your car was falling apart.
Well, it was missing like crazy.
So?
Hey, easy on the sides, huh, Tony?
Okay.
So I got a cat STP down at the station. I put it right in the gas tank.
Gas tank? I thought STP's for the oil.
Yeah, they got STP oil treatment, but this is different. STP gasoline treatment for the fuel system. Great stuff.
Yeah, it must be to get that thing of yours running good.
Really? Tell the difference right away. Smooth it out like I was rolling downhill with the engine on.
Now, come on.
No kidding.
Well, it must cost a fortune.
What? Everything's got to be like a haircut, huh? STP gas treatment got my engine running fine for only 65 cents.
STP gasoline treatment. You can feel the difference with the very first can. Ask Mario Andretti, Indy 500 winner.
Connors Orchestra playing Abunda. Time to catch up on what's happening across the nation and around the globe, so stay on the line. NBC Monitor News on the Hour is coming up next. My name, Joe Garagiola.
Shoo-dee-doo, shoo-dee-doo, dee-doo-ah.
State Department of Commerce. The traveler who comes to New York from another state or another country and has a good time will go home and tell his friends about it. He becomes a Visit New York State salesman for us in his own state or country. And he'll come back himself. That's nice, but what's the point, you might say? Well, the point is that travel is a more than $3 billion a year business in New York State. It provides many jobs and brings in a lot of dollars. It's an important part of the state's economy. The traveler who has gone home happy undoubtedly enjoyed our many and varied vacation land attractions, but he also enjoyed the people he met. Assisting a foreign or an American visitor to New York State can be richly enjoyable, can make new friends, and, not incidentally, can make the traveler feel welcome. A welcome visitor will someday be welcomed back. You can help New York State by being a helpful New Yorker.
This is the place, the Long John Nebel Place, midnight to 5 a.m. on WNBC, Radio 660 New York.